Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings. Welcome to the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio. This is the No Romance Without Finance show. I'm your host, Brother Vernon Muhammad, and I'm so happy to be back on the air with you all this evening. Got a lot of good things going on all at once, so we're going to make sure we do our part to add a little positivity to the universe. This episode of the show is pertaining to some very, very practical stuff, but I think it's about time that we start getting around to the romance part of the No Romance Without Finance show. We're talking about wedding costs, but we're also talking about asset loss. We're going to look at the ways in which planning for a wedding and all the expenses of a wedding add up, and if it really makes sense to go the traditional route, which everybody seems to just want to do. You know, wedding ceremony has to have this, has to have that, got to pay for the doves, got to have two DJs, whatever the case may be. You know, there's a whole lot of expenses that go into actually having a wedding ceremony. So much emphasis is put on weddings and the wedding ceremony. Very, very little, or certainly not enough emphasis is put on marriage. So we want to take a look at something that many, many of us do. Put all this planning into the special day, the big event, the wedding, and how much it costs. I found some very interesting statistics, some interesting facts on weddings, you know, the average for America as it is. They say that the average, and I'm sure this is not the average black wedding, but the average wedding in America runs a bill up to about $23,000. I'm sure that's pretty conservative, but they're saying that's what the average is. Even if it's not $23,000, even if it's $10,000, even if it's $5,000, is that the best use of that money that you can utilize? Put it into a wedding, or could that $5,000, $10,000, $23,000 be better spent on something that's going to benefit the family further down the road? Because truth be told, if the marriage is solid and stable and sure, it's going to be blessed whether there is a wedding ceremony or not. The justice of the peace works just fine. Courthouse is in place to do just that. Small, intimate ceremonies in home, backyard, garden, wherever, they work just fine, as opposed to renting out a concert hall or, you know, a big banquet hall and all of the expenses that go along with that. Now, we're not going to jump right into it right off the bat. You know, we got some time before we do that. But we definitely want to take a look at what the alternatives are. So I found some good stuff with that. And I'm sure with my co-host who is on and in the wing, we're going to come up with some good stuff. Sister Gidget, Aziza, Mariam, Renee, Teresa, Brunhilde, Muhammad. How are you, my dear sister? Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Vernon. And how are you this fine evening, sir?
I'm feeling good like a winner should. I had a little bit of a headache, but I'm taking it easy, easy. Got to take it easy. So I'm feeling a little bit better.
All praises due to Allah, brother. Well, we missed you last week, but we're glad to have you back this week.
Yes, indeed. I'm glad to be back. I wanted to play a rebroadcast last week, even though we don't do that. We always keep it live and funky fresh. But I wanted to drive that message home. I think that episode that I did with Brother Student Minister Jamil Muhammad was right on point. It was a community of our own, and that's a subject that I said in that show, you know, it's going to be an ongoing discussion. And I hope to have some of our guests, some of our listening audience join us as we pick up that discussion in the future. We want to not just talk about it, we want to be about that.
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I'm not too ashamed to admit that this topic, today's topic, did not come from Brother Vernon. This was just the Gidget's idea.
Oh, no, you didn't.
What prompted you to think about this as a subject for today's No Romance Without Finance show?
Well, how can I put it? To be perfectly honest, I have been inundated with conversations with various people about marriage and relationships and weddings and things of that nature, and I don't know if Allah is trying to tell me something, but anyway, it was just the first thing that came to my mind in the planning of this broadcast, so that's where it came from.
Oh, okay. In your conversation, you know, without divulging too much, you don't want to out nobody, but you know, depending on who you're talking to, are you finding that a lot of people are being very practical and, you know, kind of moving away from tradition, or in today's days and times and circumstances that are going on, are people still full steam ahead with the white carriage and the horses and, you know, thousand doves that got to be released and all that stuff?
Well, I can put it like this. Amongst the women, amongst the sisters in particularly, you know, they have their heart set and their mind set that, you know, this is my first and my only wedding, or this may be my second and my last wedding, or whatever it may be, and they want that day to be. Sir?
I was feeling inspired. I said third time's a charm.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, okay, if you say so. I don't have the nerve. But you know, they want it to be special. And we know that special in this economy costs a lot of money. The brothers are kind of like yielding to whatever her heart desires, as any gentleman would. And, you know, I don't think he's trying to go broke, but, you know, I think he's more compromising than what he should be when we're talking about the cost of wedding these days.
Did you just quote a Kanye West song on this show?
No. If I did, I don't know it.
Oh, okay. I thought you said she ain't, you ain't trying to say she's a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke.
Yeah, okay. I did that.
Okay. All right. All right. Well, so it seems like people are throwing caution to the wind. And sometimes we think there would be a balance to the equation. You know, somebody would kind of step in and say, well, no, you know, that doesn't make sense. We need to go in this direction. Seems like the men who want to see things move forward are willing to just go for whatever's called for. Whether that's a smart choice or not, you know, we'll take a look at that. We'll see.
Well, you know, what I have found is that I think marriage in itself is becoming not so commonplace anymore. And I think that, you know, people get wrapped up in the emotionalism of getting married. And it is a wonderful and beautiful event of your life, and it is something to be cherished, of course. And, you know, when you're in a state of euphoria, so to speak, you know, you kind of just, you know, just get caught up in the moment, and the only thing that you're thinking about as far as the future, you know, if you've gotten to that point to where as you say, okay, I'm ready to get married, we have a place to stay, yes, I'm going to be able to provide and maintain this woman, but are you going to be able to go further down the road? You know, have you planned for emergencies? Have you even planned for that first child, depending on what your circumstances are? You know, so, you know, sisters in particularly have to think about, you know, do you have a job where you have benefits where you can take off when it's time for you to have a child and you're still going to get paid? Or are you working for a company that does not honor maternity leave, and will you be out of the work field, of the, you know, of the employment field for a number of years even to be a caretaker to this child? And is his income sufficient enough to maintain the lifestyle that you desire to live? And so I think in the planning of the wedding, that is the first union of when you as a couple begin to financially invest in one another. And so I know, I've known sisters to save up astronomical amounts of money for dress and glamour and glitz and caterers and DJs and things, and brothers too, you know. And when you look at it at the end of the day, some of them go into marriage together having a joint debt that they created just to get married. But I'm going to give you a perfect example of how you can get married and just really stay focused on the purpose of why you're getting married. Because my uncle and aunt, this was a long time ago, on my mother's side, they got married in the 40s, and they lived in a bedroom of, I think, one of my cousin's house. That's where their honeymoon suite was, so to speak. And he did have a ring. He did buy her a ring. He bought the ring off a guy at a pool hall. for like $10 or something, but it was a 14-karat gold little band. He bought that from him, and she wore like her Sunday best church dress or whatever, and the preacher married them. But on their 10th year anniversary, he gave her the most elaborate wedding I've ever seen in my family ever because, I think it was their 50th anniversary. This might have been their 50th or 60th anniversary, I'm sorry. But they were old, but he wanted to give her that wedding. And, you know, he gave her that wedding. And throughout my family, you know, I know my brother did it at his 10th year. I had another brother do it at the 20th year where they didn't have the money for the elaborate wedding. But as they lived their lives together and as they, you know, were able to, you know, get their monies together and become financially secure, they had these big elaborate weddings and receptions and things like that because their marriage was sacred to them. And, of course, they wanted to honor their bride with her special day. I don't think men too much care for that. But I think it's the timing. When you're starting off, you don't want to start in debt, and especially not from your wedding, because that, at the when you come back on your honeymoon and those bills are sitting up in the mailbox and you've been gone all week, it's not cute.
You know, I think you're right. And I just want to touch on something as a side note, something that you said. You know, you went back to the concern of whether or not, you know, a person may be working a job and whether they may have the benefits that would allow them to take off and, you know, care for a spouse or during the time when there's childbirth, whatever the case may be. Just as a side note, just so you know, stay informed, there's something called the Family Medical Leave Act. And if you need to take time away from your job to care for yourself, to recover, recuperate, or to care for a family member or a loved one, the law of the land states that you have a certain amount of time that's given to you to do that. So don't let nobody pull the wool over your eyes and make you think that you're going to lose because you need to take care of your family. Okay? That's the law in that regard is on your side. So don't, you know, don't revert back to the days of Django and think that we, you know, just stuck with no rights on the plantation. That's just as a side note, just to keep people informed and empowered as to what you can and cannot do. But to your last point, I think it takes a lot of maturity. It's really going to require a lot of maturity on people's part nowadays, particularly nowadays, because you know everybody's getting real savvy and is really getting down to, for lack of a better term, nitpicking or splitting hairs and who's responsible for what, and, oh, the bride's family is responsible for the wedding and blah, blah, blah. You know, if you're in a position where you're thinking about getting married and you're planning for a wedding, you have to be considerate of others. You know, just because, oh, you know, the bride's family takes care of that doesn't mean you got to throw caution to the wind or, you know, throw your hands up like you don't care, because somebody has to take care of all that. And even about young couples or couples that are getting married and going into debt, well, there are actually grown adults with grown children of their own that are getting married that still aren't making wise financial choices. They're going into debt so that they can finance their daughter's wedding. And, I mean, sometimes it's not just one. Sometimes they'll have two or three daughters, and they got to do it for each one of them. I think it's very necessary to really, you know, just be considerate and think about the fact that even though you want to have this fairy tale, you know, day that is going to represent whatever it's going to represent for you, still in all, you don't want to bring so much burden on yourself, on your new marriage, on your family members, and just make them responsible for it. Most of the time, the more elaborate a wedding gets, the more frivolous the stuff that's included is. You know, instead of just having a singer, they want to have a daggone concert choir. You know, instead of, I've joked about it.
Well,
having a doctor
I personally think they should spend that money on counseling and assuring that the marriage is going to work. versus trying to spend all of that money only to wind up in divorce court spending more money a year or two or even 5 years down the road. So if you're going to invest in something, invest in the marriage itself and get audited, get counseling at whatever cost, if it costs anything at all, to assure that the marriage itself is going to work. Because we get caught up in the honeymoon phase. You know, when we think about we're getting married, we finally got our soulmate. You know, I got somebody to come home to. I have a companion for life. I'm going to finally have children or whatever the glamour side of it is. You know, we have a tendency to get away from the work that we have to put in the marriage to make it work. And we don't think about, you know, obtaining those tools that's going to help us through difficult situations and when we have disagreements and how not to be bitter and how not to allow our love to turn cold. Those are the things that you need to invest in, and then take that money and make your first initial investment, your initial investment as a couple in something tangible that is going to carry you throughout your future. And I am particularly am talking about land first, property second.
Good stuff. You know, as much as people spend on an education, you know, going to college, going back to get a degree or whatever the case may be, I think that's a good idea. You know, invest some of that money in premarital counseling. Imagine that. You know, we put so much emphasis on going to get an education in hopes of, I guess, getting a better job. I can't see what else, you know, somebody would go back to school for, unless they're just totally, you know, inspired to start a whole new career field or start a business or an enterprise for themselves. But, you know, that the amount of time and the amount of money that we would be willing to invest for that marriage, you're talking about half of your life. You know, everything else, work and, you know, whatever other responsibilities you have is the other half. But a whole 50% is marriage. That's especially said in Islam, half of your faith is marriage. So I think it's definitely worth some of that money that would be put into a wedding or, you know, a grand event of celebrations. If you wanted to survive, if you want longevity for it, certainly would be. But let's take a look, if we could, at some of the things that are being recommended and suggested as ideas for things you need to be mindful of. I went to what is this? BalancePro.net. I went to Google, actually, and I just searched for alternatives to, I searched for financially smart weddings. That's what I searched for. And took me to a site, BalancePro.net, which is a financial fitness program. And they have this article on planning a wedding on a budget. That's a good place to start. You know, if you're going to make that move, at least, if nothing else, try to make sure you're making the smartest decisions on what you want to spend your money on. Okay? I already quoted that the average American wedding is $23,000. That's probably from some people who have some assets and have some stuff to spend. But we know, to some degree, black people try to keep it real. We're not totally trying to keep up with the Joneses. We know good and well we don't have $23,000 to spend on a wedding. So maybe we try to, you know, finagle and spend $10,000 on a wedding, or even $5,000 on a wedding. Where will the money go? According to BalancePro.net, you got to look at invitations, you got to look at the wedding dress, you got to look at decorations and flowers, you got to look at the venue, food, music, photography. And that doesn't even mention the man's expense. You know, who's going to rent? You got to have a limo. And then you got to have bride grooms, just like you have bridesmaids. If I'm not mistaken, I think they have they have a rehearsal dinner. And then they have there's some other thing. somebody pays for dinner on the night of the rehearsal for the wedding, and then there's something that the bride's family pays for before the wedding, and, you know, just all of this stuff that you have to account for.
Well, I think that's in a lot of European weddings, so to speak. Now, I know some of us do have rehearsal dinners and things of that nature, you know, but just with the catering, the DJ, and let's say the videographer, the photographer, and the clothing expenses, you're looking on average probably in a realistic wedding about $7,000 to $8,000 if you, you know, if you just get the nice simple things. Now, I'm not talking about anything elaborate, but if you get just a kind of simple wedding dress and some tuxedos, and it also depends on how many bridesmaids and groomsmen you have. But the biggest expense is, of course, is going to be the ring. That's the biggest expense. And the ring, then the dress. So after that, you know, you can kind of like pray that you have something left over after you get through with all of that. And then if you're going to have a venue, you know, if you're going to have this somewhere where they're not doing it for free, you're not having it in the, you know, at the mosque, in the back, in the kitchen, somewhere, you're going to pay a lot of money for a venue. So, you know, we have to really kind of decide what is necessary and what is not. And, of course, we want everyone to enjoy their wedding day, but we also want them to be able to enjoy their marriage after that day.
Mm-hmm. I get you. When you talk about venues, you know, I've been to weddings that were held in a community center that was beautifully decorated, and the way things were arranged, the number of people that it held, everything was beautiful. It was perfect. I couldn't find any fault with it. And I've been to elaborate stage places, you know, big tents out in the botanical gardens and stuff like that. I've been to some places where there was obviously some cost to doing it that way. And I honestly, you know, I didn't necessarily see any major benefit in having a wedding at some place that was so elaborate and over the top, as opposed to just a very nice, simple location that was decorated the way that the bride and groom and their family wanted it decorated. You can, the wedding is made by the decorations. You can have any old place. Even if you get married in the White House, if there's no decorations, guess what? You're just in a facility getting married. So the thing that catches people's eye and seems to make so much, weigh so heavily and attract people so much is the decoration. You can turn any place that's clean and decent into a wonderful environment to have such an event. So the venue, if people wanted to be practical, that just about anywhere. I've been to backyard wedding on the perfect, you know, spring or summer day, and it was wonderful. I've been to weddings in Detroit at what is the name of that African American museum in Detroit? I can't even remember what it is. It's either the biggest or the first or the only African American museum in the city of Detroit, and it was a nice venue. You know, they just had it right there in the lobby, the main lobby entrance area of that particular museum. And it was really was, you know, a nice setting. You know, they have it all decked out, and there's loads of stuff to see all around. And I think the floor of the facility is a world map, and it really did look nice. But I just say that to say you can go just about anywhere and not get so caught up on, oh, it's got to be in this place, I have to have this, I have to rent that place out. You can do it real simple. And also, I wanted to throw something out there, but I got to have a disclaimer first just to give you. Far be it from me to try to sow seeds of dissension or railroad any brother's plan. But think about it. Think about, just like you said, the engagement ring, something that's supposed to be so symbolic, so important, and so doggone expensive. You know, if you look at symbols and meaning behind it and all that stuff, sometimes you might want to throw into the equation, not just because you're trying to get out of paying for, you know, big expensive ring or something like that, but just to really be in harmony with, you know, good principles, you know, good karma coming your way. The idea of where these diamonds come from and who's exploited by the diamond industry. You know, are there alternatives to finding diamonds that come from countries where the diamond industry is used to finance war or, you know, finance child labor or whatever the case may be? They call them conflict-free diamonds and actually going beyond conflict-free. But, you know, that's something that some people may want to consider. It may very well be that. It just wasn't a thought. People just think, oh, you're supposed to get a diamond ring. Well, if you getting that diamond ring is financing, you know, little boys in Sierra Leone getting their arms chopped off because they ain't work fast enough, is it really worth it? Something to think about.
You'll search
for conflict-free diamonds or conflict-free engagement rings. You'll find some companies that are actually trying to do something the right way, trying to do it good, because you know people who went into Africa and are exploiting local populations with their names all over these diamond mines and diamond stores and, you know, jewelry stores, just because they bought it at Jared's or Zales or whatever, doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, something that's good for you and, you know, your people.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, I can't say anything about that because I don't know if what other stone any other sister would want, or maybe just going with a gold band that's, you know, decorated or something like that. I don't know. I think it's just, you know, if you have a person who is just about what is going on with the diamonds and how they are obtained, and if that's something that they are certainly in their heart don't want to support, you know, there could be some alternatives to that. But then, you know, I don't think that the, you know, the expense of the ring, you know, I don't think it should determine how a person feels about you or how dedicated that they are or the level of commitment that they're making. You know, the ring is a symbolism for the public to know that you are married. So if you are not married in spirit and in heart and in truth and in faith, then you're not married. You're just a woman with a ring. So I think we need to kind of put, you know, marriage in itself in its perspective. And when it comes to marriage and money, that seems to, you know, they almost seem to be on the same level when they should never, ever be. Money compared to the marriage itself should be very minute. So, you know, I think people, you know, they'll make their choices. And I don't think a brother will go into debt. I think he will get what he can afford. And inshallah, the sister who he's buying the ring for will accept it as a symbol of his love and not measure that love by the size of the diamond.
Yes, indeed. I pulled up another Google search, and one of the interesting results was alternatives to engagement rings. Six big picture alternatives buying an engagement ring. Let me say this again. You know, I'm not against any of this stuff that is tradition or, you know, what you feel in your heart you really, really want to do. I'm just throwing it up there so that we can take a look at what it is we do. And in the context of what's going on today and, you know, exactly what the financial and economic landscape is going along with tradition and custom, the best thing we could do with the money that we're going to lay out? Is it the best thing? Is it going to give us the biggest return for the money that we're going to spend? But it's, you know, it's been engagement ring is something that the husband to be and the bride to be and the wife to be decide on, and it has that meaning for them. And by all means, you know, go for it. Do what you do. There are alternatives, though. And here are some of the alternatives. One is pay back credit card debt. Can you imagine that? Imagine a couple that actually gets together and says, look, you know, looking at all these expenses and, like you said, the venue, the caterer, and, you know, you got somebody who got diabetes and, you know, all kinds of allergies, so you got to have two caterers. You know, all types of stuff pop up in the equation.
I'm sorry, that's not funny.
Stuff happens.
Well, you know, let me just put this out here, Brother Vernon, why you said that. I tell you. Now, I'm very particular about food. I know we as Muslims are very particular about food. And even though there are some caterers that will, of course, accommodate our diet, and we can really appreciate that, let me tell you some of the best wedding food I ever had. It was at a wedding for my 45. But I tell you, my sisters got in that kitchen and represented and had enough food to feed everybody. So I'm just making a suggestion, sisters, get your sisters together. They will prepare it. They will lay it out for you beautifully, you know, buffet style, whatever you need. But you don't have to worry about what's in the food. Is it going to hurt this person? Can that person eat it or whatever? It was beautifully done. And it costs so much less than a caterer. So for us in the Nation of Islam, and particularly, that's just an idea. And for those of us who are non-Muslim, I mean those of you who are non-Muslim, I'm sorry, you know, if you can get your aunts and uncles and cousins and friends, and you got some people that can cook, really, if you compare the grocery bill to what you spend for them to prepare the food, and hopefully they're prepared out of charity and love, compared to what you pay for a caterer, you still come out cheaper.
That's good for the ones who are Muslims on Saturday and Sunday and Tuesday as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So check this out. One of the, you know, that just brought to mind, I like going to events where the MGT are the ones that cater the events. I love the menu, the selection, the normal and traditional selection, and the little subtle, you know, adventurous things that I've encountered by dining at the, you know, the dinner programs at the mosque and whatnot. I think every city in America that has a mosque or a study group from the Nation of Islam is poised and ready to become the caterer of choice in that city or in that state for weddings and special events like that. Now that I come to think of it, some of the top teams, top cooking teams or catering outfits are right there in those mosque dinner programs. Awesome. Just had to say that. Big up to my sisters and MGT from wherever they may be.
Yes, sir.
So one of the, alternatives to buying an engagement, paying back credit card debt. Yes, here that may not be glamorous as a dazzling diamond, but paying back your credit card with that $5,000 could save about $1,000 in interest a year. With 15 to 20% interest rates, credit cards could be costing you more than an engagement ring is worth. That's something to think about. It takes, again, it takes, you know, the degree of maturity between the bride and the groom to determine what it is that's most important to them, what kind of plans they're going to work on. Another option is
the pawn shop.
The pawn shop?
Yes. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, let's just keep it real. All right? People have been in economic crisis for a long time. And unfortunately, they've had to give up some of their most prized possessions. Now, me particularly, I would have never thought about going to a pawn shop because that's just not me, you know. But I needed a monitor for my computer, and I needed to get it right quick. And, you know, I went to the pawn shop one time, and I mean, the jewelry that they had in the pawn shop was off the chain. And, you know, fractions of what it will cost you to go to a jewelry store. And so it's unfortunate that, you know, someone had to give up, but they, you know, their jewelry, but they are, it could have been because they were divorcing and, you know, wanted to just get some money off of it or whatever. But they have beautiful rings in the pawn shop. So those of you who are, you know, starting with very humble beginnings, don't exhaust yourself trying to get a big, expensive ring. You know, consider the pawn shop if your budget is so restricted. I mean, it's better than nothing. And then at the same time, you know, you can put it on layaway and you can pay it off, and you don't have to worry about interest. You know, you don't have to worry about if you miss a payment, it's going to affect your credit. You don't have to worry about that. You know, live within your means. That is the key to the whole thing. Live within your means and stop having false expectations. Sisters in particularly, and I know sisters might get mad at me when I say this, but we know that we want what we want when we want it. That's a lot of our attitude. A lot of times we feel entitled. Brothers, I know some brothers that have that same attitude too. But when you know that your husband, well, when you know the household budget, and it's all right to desire things, but you have to work toward those things and to make sure that you're not putting yourself in a ditch just to have some material things. Because at the end of the day, I know every sister would rather have a husband who loves her, who respects her, who cherishes her, who protects her, you know, who maintains her, than to have a big old $5,000-$6,000 ring sitting on her finger and married to a fool. So, you know, make a choice.
No, I get the impression they won't accept one without the other.
That's not true. That's not true.
I'm just saying what my spidey sense is telling me. I know.
Well, I hope that we're being practical, especially with the economic blueprint that the minister has brought to our attention once again, that we really need to start saving our monies to invest in land and, you know, essentials that we're going to need for the future. And I think if you want to give a gift to your husband, to your wife, make the joint initial investment in some land of your own. I don't care if you have to buy half an acre at a time, you know, and, you know, it might not be in your immediate area, you know. Just do the research, see where there's some land that, you know, that is affordable and that can be cultivated, and invest in some land. I think that's the best gift at this point for those new couples who are considering marriage right now.
I know this is who, when it was put on the table, you know, you think it would be good, you'd be practical, you know, both of you see in this, blah, 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 blah. So, like a land, or would you like a diamond? Without hesitation, the sponsor's a diamond. Everybody is where they are. And, you know, personally, I think that the idea about the pawn shop, I think that there's a possibility that that can be a good idea. I think that the possibility can work. But, you know, some people may feel funny about that. I mean, you never know if that ring came off the, you know, thing of a dead one. You know, you got cussed out.
Well, she dead. The ring is not dead. She dead.
Hey, you know, some people.
And who's going to research that? Who's going to research that, really?
Some people spooky like that. They just, you know, Don't even have to be real.
Well, I'll put it like this. If you ever go and get a liver transplant, a kidney transplant, a heart transplant, know with the surety that the person that you're getting organs from, they're dead too. So, come on now. You'll put it in your body to save your life, but you won't put it on your finger? Come on now. Come on. Come on now.
Because I've told people before, you need a kidney, I got an extra one for you. I'll hook you up.
We got to do better. That's all I got to say.
We got to do better. All right.
I'm just glad I'm at the age I don't have to worry about it no more.
Who knows?
Nobody. Allah knows.
All right. Here's another alternative to an engagement ring. How about a new set of wheels? Because for most of you, it won't be long until your family grows. Whether you're the future soccer mom with a minivan or the stylish mom with the SUV, you might appreciate $5,000 for a down payment for a new car. The average price for an affordable, kid-friendly vehicle rings in about $35,000. So if you can make a $5,000 down payment, that's a pretty good way to use your money if you want to buy a new car. You may just want to buy a $5,000 SUV or minivan, you know, just call it a day. But, you know, again, you have to see what the personal preference is. How many women would accept a $5,000, you know, new vehicle that they didn't have before versus a diamond ring or an engagement ring? And they seem to be stuck on this $5,000 amount. Maybe that's the average for an engagement ring. I don't know. Here's another one.
I don't know about that. I mean, you know, I feel like if it's feasible, then fine. But I don't know. Cars and first-time investment, it don't sit well with me in particularly, but it depends on what the needs of the family are. So, you know, and you know, we do have to look down the road when we talk about family planning, but that's the key, plan the family. You know, like I said, you know, address those issues. Yes, you might can take time off of work, but then, you know, are you going to be the type of mother who wants to go back to work? And if you do, you're going to have a child care expense, you know, dealing with that. You also have to be prepared in the event that, you know, if the child gets ill. I mean, there are a lot of things that you have to consider when you're getting married and when you're planning. Don't let certain things in life be a surprise. You know, we have to be better about planning our future and planning our lives, you know, because the way that the system is going now, health care insurance is not going to always be available. We have to make sure that we are intaking nutritious foods so that we can nurture, you know, the babies that we are carrying in the proper way to avoid any kind of sickness, because the circumstances are turning now where, you know, we might not be able to go to a hospital or for the best of care. So we're going to have to start taking the best of care of one another, which medication in itself could be another expense. So taking care of ourselves is essential. I mean, there are just a lot of things to think about when you're talking about getting married and the possible up-and-coming expenses. And that way, if you have something tangible that you have invested in and you need to fall back on it, it's there. It's there.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, we have a couple of callers on the line. We've got quite a few callers on the line. We've got two that have their hands raised. What I want to do is go ahead and take our break that we should have taken at 8:30. For a brief moment, then we'll come back and hear a word from my sponsor. And then I'll get to those two callers that are on the line, and we'll finish with the rest of these alternatives to engagement rings here. And then we'll get into some of the other things that we could do as an alternative to expensive weddings. What are these assets that we're talking about you could lose if you are going to put your effort and money into wedding costs? So don't go nowhere. You're on the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, the No Romance Without Finance show. And we will be back on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the No Romance Without Finance show. I wanted to drop a line from our sponsor to call y'all to action. I'm so glad that we are back and we are live. And we have quite a few people who are in the chat room, quite a few people who are on the phone lines with us. One of our sponsors, our primary sponsor, Freedom Paper Company, is calling on all of us to step up and put our money where our mouth is. We say that we believe in cooperative economics. We say that we believe in supporting black businesses. Well, before you go to the supermarket, before you go to the convenience store and buy bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash bags, facial tissue, any of those things that you know you spend money on, stop. Turn back around and put that money back into our community. Visit www.freedompapercompany.com to support your brothers and sisters that are manufacturing and distributing our own brand of bathroom tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, facial tissue, and a host of other products. Buy black, support your own. Visit freedompapercompany.com. Buy from yourself. Buy from the companies that will support causes that are near and dear to your heart. So, like I said, we have a few callers on the line and a few that are hitting me up on the instant message talking about giving the numbers I can call in. So for those of you who are listening, if you want to join the conversation, the number to dial in is area code 646-716-5971. Just dial in and hit 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you in as soon as I see you in the queue. So let's do this. Caller from area code 856. I just opened up your mic. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. Who's this?
Assalamu alaikum. It's brother Walter, known W. Muhammad. I'm listening in, and it's a beautiful show. I just wanted to say I wish you guys would have told me this about a year ago. Today is my wife and I's anniversary. And maybe some of this knowledge could have permeated with us as far as wedding expenses and things of that nature. But all praises to Allah. It's a wonderful show, a lot of good information. And I thank you for
thank
having me.
Thank you, Brother Walter. You should have called me. I would have told you.
Yes, man. So crazy to Allah. But, it's a wonderful show. And I just wanted to say to those who are listening and probably contemplating getting married and things of that nature, it is very imperative that we really, look at our financial situation, not just currently, but like you were saying, Sister Gidget, down the road, because there's a lot of things that we may face in our marriages financially. And, some of this money that we're doling out for that one day to have, an elaborate send off in the journey of marriage, we need to really think about, is it really worth it, and will it put a serious strain on us, because I actually have family members who have been married like for 5 and 6 years now and still paying off the debt of the wedding. And it's like, wow, you could have bought a house, with what you are paying back to the banks for loans, the money that you didn't really have, so all praises to Allah. This is such a wonderful, thing y'all doing here, and I definitely appreciate being able to listen and, partake in it. So, praises to Allah. Thank you.
Hey,
thank you, Brother Walter.
Thank you so much.
That's my little brother Walter right there.
Thank you for joining us, Brother Walton. We appreciate your words. And in the words of Brian McKnight, shoulda, coulda, woulda, it's okay. You just start from where you are now. Let's start making some smart decisions and move on from there.
Yes, sir.
And, you know,
yes,
I think
sir.
That is so sad when he said that there were people who were paying off the debt of the wedding 5 or 6 years after. So you mean the debt is lasting longer than most marriages? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that
real.
Is scary. That's scary.
You know, start on the right foot with the right background noise. I don't know who that is. I'm sorry. One second. Well, I think I found it. You got to start on the right with the right frame of mind, you know, putting the right questions on the table right up front and focusing on what really is important. Because we're having too many stories of these weddings that don't last long, and, you know, before the ink dries on the marriage certificate, or before people can even get used to the idea, you hear about things on the house and, oh, they ain't married no more. But, yeah, they still have all of that debt to pay off, or that they stuck somebody with from this elaborate ceremony that they had. Something to think about.
Right.
Let's go to one more caller on the line. Caller from area code 314. I think I know who that is. Is that Brother Kareem?
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, my brother.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
Yes, it is Brother Kareem indeed. And first, I have to say, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, you all are just hitting right on the point. This is a perfect subject, and the reason I say that is because my brother James and I were just discussing this very subject about an hour ago. We were just discussing the fact that's one of the reasons that so many of the, and I'm putting it in quotes now, marriages fail. You know, and we were discussing that fact, you know, is because of the exorbitant amount of money that's put into this show as opposed to investing in the actual union of the two. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, because most of the money in the beginning goes into all these symbols as opposed to a foundation that is going to ensure the continuation of this coupling. And I just want to say this, you know, and I know the name of the show. I know the name of the show. The name of the show is No Romance Without Finance. Okay. And I understand that. But just
right.
to say, I think it's because of the lack of understanding of what we're actually getting into. It's because the majority of individuals are looking for romance as opposed to affection. And some people want to say they're synonymous. They're not. There isn't a difference. And just to share with you real quick, I looked up the word romance. And according to Merriam-Webster, romance is described as, one, a medieval tale based on legend, chivalric love, and adventure or supernatural, a prose narrative treating imaginary characters involved in events remote in time or place and usually heroic, adventurous or mysterious, a love story, especially in the form of a novel.
Okay, you know, that's interesting, Brother Kareem. They attribute romance to the medieval period. Like there's no stories of love or affection like that that existed prior to that.
Well, see that's where I'm coming to. You see, we had stories of love in our culture. We do. There are many that you can see. However, they were not, quote-unquote, and that's what I'm saying about how it's been confused, is affection. I'm saying, like I said, not to take away at all, because I understand, I mean, the concept, we have to come to the people where they're at, whether they're Muslim or not. But the thing is that by its very nature, romance is insufficient. It's incomplete. It really, in other words, romance actually came out of, and even before medieval times, romance, I mean, the root word of romance is Roman. And Brother James, he put a spin on it the last time we talked about it. He used the term romantic Roman antics. See, the majority of the time when people are being romantic, the idea is it's a prelude to a booty call. It has no basis in I'm trying to be with you. It's a prelude to a booty call. I'm just going to be real about it. Because once the individual gets what they're after, then they're, most of the time they're no longer romantic. But when we deal from the standpoint of affection, the root of the word affection literally means to influence or permanent influence, just like affection and affect and effect, those two words have the same root. So we need to be dealing from a level of affection. I mean, everything that you're talking about, you all have discussed, and the alternatives you put out there are talking about affection because now you're thinking mathematically, you're thinking logically. Yes, there's going to be feeling involved. Yes, you want to be, you want to love the person or have some attraction to the person that you're going to be with. I mean, that's only natural. However, this thing of romance, I'm saying I'll just say it in this way, in the way that people see it, the way that it's portrayed in our society today, it has no permanence to it because it's just, you know, this is what I will do to get out of you what I want. It's like the word nice. People want to compare the word nice and the word kind and say they mean the same thing. No, they don't. To be nice, if you look it up in the dictionary, it means to be a fool. But to be kind means to actually have genuine affection for another and to show that affection by acts of sacrifice or help. That's being kind. When somebody's being nice, again, it goes back to just like romance. The majority of the time, when people are being nice to you, they're usually nice to you. They will act kind to obtain something from you that they want. Then once they obtain what they want, well, they ain't going to be nice no more. It wasn't real. It was an illusion. And so what I'm saying is that when you put it on the level that you all have put it on, I mean, you all are dealing with it masterfully. It's just like Sister Gidget talked about, going to the pawn shop. Now, I mean, with the situation that we're in, and I'm dealing with Muslims now, particularly as Muslims, follower of Yom Belaj Muhammad, with the teaching that we have been given, it should be automatic that we want to first look at how we're going to secure ourselves as a family, not, ooh, girl, look at the size of my diamond. What the hell is that? Can you eat the diamond? Can you feed your family with the diamond for more than a week or two? You know? And then by the same token with the brother, well, you know, I want to give this extravagant show. Like you say, like the brother was saying, people 5 years down the road and you still paying for this wedding. The word wedding comes from the word wed, which means security. Where's the security in having a $5,000 debt for a one-day event? I'm lost at that. That's why I'm saying about, again, you know, when Yom Belaj Muhammad told us it was three things we had to have in order to be successful, and I'm going to say this and be quiet. He said that, number one, we had to know mathematics. We had to know mathematics. Matter of fact, he said we had to master mathematics is what he said. The second thing he said was that we had to have a command of the English language. And the third thing was that we must no history. And I'm saying that the evidence of that is just right there in the marriage, what we are calling marriage, and I've said this, is that a lot of times we're bandying the word about marriage. But the majority of us have made an attempt, any of us that have been divorced, myself included, we made an attempt at marriage, and it may have been a very good attempt. However, it wasn't a marriage unless it you remained together and moved forward in the way of Almighty God Allah. Because marriage, a true marriage, is a direct reflection of the union between the individual and God himself.
And it's a process in motion.
Yes, exactly. So it has to continue. It's continuous. When you break it off, you've aborted it. I consider divorce to be a disease myself.
Mm.
That's how I see it. And so I'm saying, so all the things that you all are putting out there are right on point, because this is what we have got to do. We have to do this in preparation so that we can be successful. I mean, it can't just be. It's a big show, man. I mean, for the most part, what individuals doing is having a big show. I mean, if you have the money to be able to do that, you know, that's fine. However, if we're going to be practical, like you just said, it would be more practical as opposed to going and getting this ring. Then you go, well, okay, you sit down and decide, well, what is it that you would rather have that's going to be a benefit to our union as opposed to this symbol? What's going to be something that's going to be workable to help us continue to grow as we are building a nation? Because that's what it's ultimately about. I'm going to be quiet now.
that's an issue that is so. You're right. This is a topic that, as always, I say this about all of the topics on the show. It's something that's definitely going to be for discussion for some time to come. You know, it's different strokes for different folks, and as practical as some people may be, you know, we can talk that stuff. And in many areas of our lives, we practice that. But this is one of those sensitive areas. It's almost like food, you know. We all know what we're supposed to eat and what we're not supposed to eat. But, you know, you got to tread lightly when you talk about people and what their personal choice is. But, you know, different strokes for different folks. I thank you for your comments, brother. You always have something good to add to the discussion, and I certainly appreciate that. But we're going to keep it moving. We got another call from the 678 area code. Call from 678. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. Who's this?
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum. This is Sister Keisha Muhammad from Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-uh.
Hi, Assalamu Alaikum, Sister Keisha.
Salam, Queen.
This is a wonderful topic. This is so great. I'm honored to even be on this show.
So how do you feel about the idea and the thought about coming up with alternatives to things like wedding ring or alternatives to an actual wedding ceremony? What do you think some of the alternatives could be, or how do you feel about that?
I feel like the couple realistically needs to do an inventory, a financial inventory, on what is mandatory, what you have to address immediately, and what you really don't need, because we really don't need all that big hoopla and that big ceremony. You know, that's not even of our civilization. It's a Western thing. We don't have to need that.
Mm-hmm. Hold on one second. I want to make sure I'm recording you. Hold on. Okay, go ahead.
We don't need that, the big ceremony, as far as having all your friends and family witness your marriage, and it's absorbent, and you can't pay for it, and then you end up you can't purchase a house, you're in an apartment, you're riding the bus, you don't have a car. You know, certain things are more pressing than having a big extravagant wedding. Now, if you're in a position to do so, I mean, to each his own, and everyone has to assess it based on their financial capabilities. But that money can be used in so many different ways. A lot of couples who do have it, you know, are financially successful. Some of them just get money donated to their favorite charity, or maybe if you don't do a large wedding, you can set up an account. I remember when I was in financing that we used to FHA, The Federal Housing Administration had a place where you could, a new couple could set up an account, and they can donate so much money to the account, and all the funds in that account go toward purchasing a home. So those are ideas that, you know, people can actually do in lieu of having a large ceremony, whether you have the means or you don't have the means. So it's just alternate ways to bypass a big ceremony, spending a lot of money. You can some people go to lengths as far as just doing a reception for your family members or friends, you know, a party. So you can give your people something, and it's not as expensive as getting everybody fitted and getting people all stressed out about buying a dress and everything like that and renting a space. You know, you can get a small reception and really, you know, get everybody to chip in and have a wonderful gathering of your friends and family, in my opinion.
Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you for your input. Did you have a chance to hear any of the previous alternatives that were put out there?
I didn't. Unfortunately, I was in training, so no, I haven't. But those are some that I know of that, you know, you can do. Especially, I would recommend highly, because homeownership is really something that all of us should strive for, and land ownership and being to acquire some property of our own. I would really advise the believers to set up an account, especially at a credit union, and just set it for and just give people the opportunity to just deposit in your account and go to the courthouse. And you can have a small gathering at home, you know, or maybe at the mosque, and, you know, get people to chip in, and it's much less expensive. You can buy a pretty dress. Sisters, you can buy a pretty dress. And just get your closest family members and friends to come with you to be your witnesses and, you know, save your money, because you shouldn't be in your marriage your first year or your second year struggling just to pay off the photographer. Really. It's not a wise move.
I love me some Sister Keisha. She is just so smart. Just so smart. Thank you,
yes.
Sister Keisha.
Yes,
so
please check out that account to set up for your house, because you need to buy a house. You don't need to be in an apartment,
yes,
trying to do all that.
Good stuff. Thank you for adding on to the discussion. Appreciate you calling in. You going to hang in there with us for a little while, or you got to go?
I'll hang in with you guys for a little while.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, that is all right. So back to our list. That is all the callers that we had that raised their hand and said they wanted to join in. If anybody else wants to join in the discussion, has any ideas or comments, call in to 646-716-5971 and just hit 1 on your phone, and I'll bring you into the discussion. Back to this list. Sister Keisha, you didn't hear what the alternative is. There's 6 big picture alternatives to buying an engagement ring. They talked about how the average wedding costs about $23,000. So they said, of course, the wedding ring is going to be a big expense, and I guess they averaged or estimated that it'd probably be around $5,000. So they said, number one, you can use that $5,000 to pay back credit card debt. If you have a lot of credit card debt, I guess that'd be a good way to use $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
They also suggested using that $5,000 for a down payment on a new car, depending on what the needs are going to be in the very near future. You know, they suggested that you would either need a minivan or an SUV or something like that as your family expands. And they said that's another alternative to an engagement ring.
Mm-hmm.
The next one that I didn't mention was new furniture. It says furniture is expensive, while IKEA is one of the go-to options for affordable decor. Don't sacrifice sleep for cheap. In 2007, the average price of a queen-size mattress cost $650. However, high-quality mattress brands like Tempur-Pedic range from $1,200 to $7,200. So what will you pay for comfort? It's a good way to use the $5,000 you would spend on a wedding ring. And here's something else to think about. You know, you would, people who buy the wedding ring, 9 times out of 10, they would still need to do all these things anyway. They would still need to find a way to pay down their credit card debt, because most people come into a marriage having some debt. They would still need to upgrade their ride, because I know most bachelors or single men are riding around in poofies or, you know, something that is just not family worthy. Maybe they got a little sports car, and that certainly is not going to work, you know, when you hit the number and have triplets. So you might want to upgrade that. And chances are, depending on where you move to or what the situation is, you're going to need new furniture or a new mattress or a new bed or something like that. So something to think about. Why create double expenses? You know you're going to need something else. Move in that direction anyway.
I agree, Brother Vernon. It's just priorities. I mean, just I would suggest any new couple to just make a list of priorities, things, you know, that they need to achieve within 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or a year. Make them reasonable. Make them something that they can obtain together. And if buying that ring that she may love and she may want, it's not something that that can happen like right now, and some other things are more pressing, then do that. I mean, a lot of people just buy just regular silver bands or just plain bands, and some couples don't even buy rings at all. You know, so it just depends on you know what is more pressing. It has to be. You have to look at your priorities. If you need something, and it's something that's going to get you further along in the long run, then just something that just glistens on your hand or this beautiful dress that you're going to wear just one time in your life, just to take one photo, you know, you have to look at your priorities. It's more important that you have your own home, your own car, you have a method of going to and from, making your money or work. And that's more important, and it's best to be debt-free. Whatever you do, whatever you buy, whether it's a ring, a dress, anything, your wedding, it's best to just be debt-free. If you can't buy it with cash and it's paid off, don't get it at all.
Debt is the enemy. All right, the next one on the list, this is your favorite. I'll put down a down payment on your dream house. And they got a funny picture. They got a sign that says for sale by owner. I am facing foreclosure.com. Call Casey. Just put down, because if you have the money and the credit, this is a great time to find your dream home. Bank-owned homes and short sales are plenty. Although $5,000 is not nearly enough, it can contribute to a 20% down payment, which is the standard minimum that lenders expect prospective homeowners to pay. They cleared this up right in the beginning. They're like, if you have money and the credit, that just nullified a whole bunch of people right there. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the options and the alternatives for you finding your ideal living situation, your ideal home, is not necessarily within your grasp and within your reach. You know, we've had shows, previous episodes of this show where we've talked about ways that community coming together would actually meet the needs of everyone who came together to be a part of that community. So, you know, there may be obstacles and barriers that are set up the traditional or normal way of doing things, which is everyone go for themselves. And if you have, then you can get. But if you don't have, then you're just short. But if we all come together, we start looking toward taking care of each other and each other's needs, then there'll be no one without a home. There'll be no one without a roof over their head and an ideal living situation. So that's something to think about. And last on the list, this is what they have. I don't necessarily think this would be the best option I have. Another suggestion, but they say invest in stock. Investing may seem like a daunting feat, especially if you have no idea what you're doing. So with the help of investment firms like the one they name in this thing, which must be a sponsor or something like that, you can turn $5,000 into as much as $114,000 in 30 years. Personally, instead of investing in the stock market, we know, which is driven by greed and profit, and you know everything about this world that is about to fall, I think that an investment in a new world and a new way of living and being that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is calling for is a much wiser and saner investment. The call for particularly black people, but all people who desire a righteous and clean way of living in life are being called together to raise capital for the purchase of producing land.
In the kitchen.
We know that the supermarkets and the people that we are so dependent on for our food and our essentials in life are flooding the market with loads of things that really are no good for us. Genetically modified food is everywhere, and you know, just about everything that you touch or utilize is bombarding your body with radiation now. When do we get to the point where we can have alternatives to what we're so hooked on and what we're so dependent on? Well, the basis of that is land and independence so that we can start producing our own needs. And that's what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is calling for millions of people all across the country to do. And it doesn't take a whole lot of effort and a whole lot of money to do that. But it would be wise to invest money in an effort, in a collective effort with like-minded people so that your future can be secure and so that the plans that would, protect you from what we see this world turning into, you know, those plans will come to fruition and where everybody else has a safety net that kind of, you know, blows with the wind. You kind of put a structure in place that, you know, would cover you in the time of storm. So investing in something that you know is going to grow and something that's going to provide a greater return for you, that's another alternative to a wedding ring that is put out there. But in the last few minutes of this show that we have, what are some of the other alternatives, just to get you, that you can think of to actually you know, putting on a wedding like that? I know I dropped some big ones out there, but what else can you come up with?
Well, I mean, you know, sometimes a wedding is not necessary, I mean, at all. You know, if your finances are such that, you know, you are going to attempt to invest in something tangible, maybe the wedding ceremony is not even necessary. You know, maybe you can go somewhere and get a nice cake, fix some punch, you know, and have a little small reception after you take your vows. I mean, it all depends on what you can afford. And, you know, everyone likes nice things, but we have to be realistic in our marriages and how we begin that financial marriage as well. Because if you go into a marriage, you know, in debt already, you can't determine what will happen in the future. You know, if you have your own business, you don't know how your business is going to go. If you have a job, you don't know how long you're going to have a job. So, you know, we have to think down the road. And I know it's not as romantic, quote unquote, as you know, as you're thinking in the honeymoon phase of it, of how romantic it would be to have a wedding and to go on a honeymoon. And honeymoons, oh, God, don't even talk about honeymoons. Because all of the wedding costs that you mentioned, Brother Vernon, were excluding the honeymoon. So when you put all that together, the average wedding is $30,000, you know, a whop. And that is a lot of money. So, you know, sometimes we have to be, you know, patient. We have to build. And when it is feasible for you to do those things, just because you get married doesn't mean you can't have a wedding later on. You can have a wedding on your first anniversary, your second, your 22nd, your 32nd, your 52nd. You can have a wedding to celebrate your union at any time. And the way that the divorce rate is going right now, I highly suggest suggest that you wait 5 years before you have a wedding, because you flush your money down the toilet with this 6 months to a year turnaround that's going on here. So, you know,
30 days just to get
yeah, so, you know, I just think that we need to be wise. We need to be aware of the time. We need to look at we need to follow as much news as we can on the economy of this country. We need to start, and when you start a marriage, also start off by thinking about retiring. You know, and when I say retiring, I don't mean 75 and almost dead retired. I mean, kind of set the goal to retire at least by the age of 50, 45 if you can do it. You know, if you want to be romantic, you know, think about having enough money set aside that maybe at the age of 45 or 50, you and your spouse can take elaborate vacations and things of that nature. But we have to do the work. And when you start a union, that is like a job, and it's an long-term, everlasting, day-to-day job. And, you know, the job is to make sure that your family is secure, that you're financially secure. That's a job. So, you know, you have to look at it that way. And I'm not trying to take the romance out of it, but love endures all things, if it's true love. So if you're getting married for the right reasons, I think we need to cut back on some of the fat that has been incorporated, as Sister Keisha noted, with this Western culture. And let's get back to the simplicity. Let's get back to love and devotion and duty to one another. And your first duty, of course, is to take care and love one another and secure one another. And sisters, you have to secure your husbands by not stressing them out and living outside of your means. Because a brother that loves you, he will forge his way, you know, but you don't want a husband that spends all his time on the job trying to maintain the material things, and he's not able to maintain you. You can't have it both ways. So let's be fair in our dealings when we're considering that. And Brother Vernon, if you don't mind, you know, I wanted to bring up, because I don't know where you pull your statistics from, but I had no clue that by state, the price ranges in an average marriage, average venue with, you know, church reception and stuff like that, the prices vary by the state in which you get married, with New York State being the most expensive place to have a wedding. Now, I thought it would be California, but no, New York is number one as far as expenses. And so what you're gauging it by, if you're gauging it by the price range in your state, it could vary depending on what state you're in, because the average cost of a wedding, and of course this is on the, you know, on the very elaborate side, is $44,000. Well, you could probably get the same thing in Texas, where I am, which was number 14 on the list. You probably can get that for $25,000 or $30,000. But depending on the cost of living, with I think Austin, San Antonio, Texas was the least expensive place where you can get married. So when you're talking about getting caterers and DJs and videographers and photographers, you know, you can get the same thing, but it's going to cost more depending on what state that you are in. And Sister Keisha, I don't think Atlanta even made the list. Georgia didn't even make the list. So it might be kind of cheap to get married in Georgia. And I know Brother Vernon, Baltimore, Maryland, made number 14 on the list, you know. Just in case any time in the future you're thinking about it, you know, I'm just putting it out there.
Hold on, let me just write all this down now.
Yeah, you might want to get married in another state.
I All right.
The average cost of a wedding in Maryland is $30,000. I'm just telling you.
Good Lord. Well, I tell you what, we are at the end of this episode. This is a wonderful discussion, and it's certainly one that I hope the audience enjoyed. I want to thank Brother Walter, Brother Kareem. Thanks, Sister Keisha, for coming on, and I certainly thank you, Sister Gidget, for being with me. That's it for the No Romance Without Finance show. I appreciate all y'all listening. Make sure you share this episode and share all the episodes. Again, this is the hottest show on Blog Talk Radio, so don't keep it a secret. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Peace and love.
Wa alaikum salam.